I feel led of the Lord to minister to you tonight. I want you to go to the book of Revelations, chapter 2. The book of Revelations, chapter 2. As well as the book of Exodus, chapter 22. Lord, have your way, God. So lift your hands towards heaven. Jesus. I want to go to the book of Exodus, chapter 22, and also the book of Revelation, chapter 2. We're going to start in Revelation. It says in Revelation, chapter 2, verse 18, it says, unto the angel of the church of Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and the charity, and the service, and the faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent, for fornication she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. The book of Exodus, chapter 2, 23, I'm sorry, 22. The book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse number 18. It says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Tonight I want to talk to you about kill the witch. I want to preach to you tonight a message, kill the witch. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your perfect will be done. Lord, I'm asking God that you would have complete liberty in this house. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that you would remove, Lord God, out of this place by the end of the hour, that which has opposed the ministry of this church, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that you would uproot, Lord God, any spirits that are active in people's lives, Lord. This night, in the name of Jesus, I speak deliverance. I speak breakthrough. In the name of Jesus, come on, somebody. Come on, let's talk to him. In the name of Jesus. Come on, I want you to spend some time talking to him. Come on. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. And Saul said to Samuel, "Yes, I obeyed God. Did exactly what he told me to do." And he said, "I've gone the way which the Lord directed me. I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, they took of the sheep and the oxen. The chief of all the things should have been utterly destroyed. To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of God? Behold, I obey. Oh, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. If there is a spirit that has gone what I would call wild, especially in this final hour, this is not a spirit that is isolated to foreign countries, because I find it rampant here in the United States of America. And that is the spirit of witchcraft that is not just something that is on a hill somewhere, but it also finds its way in the house of God. I found it where there are people that have been bewitched, people, ministries that are under spells. A person decides that if they are going to hypnotize someone, there must be a manipulation of that eye gate and that ear gate. And when you begin to submit yourself, and you begin to surrender yourself to that spirit, you cannot come out of the hex. You can't come out of the spell until the one that cast it upon you releases you from that spell. I've gone to places throughout this world, and I've gone to churches that could be right in the middle of one of the greatest harvests. Souls that sometimes are even able to come in and get baptized. Some are even able to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For some reason, when you begin to check the history of the church, and you begin to count the number of souls that have come through the doors, you begin to count the number of souls that have come through the baptistry. Count the number of souls that heaven rejoiced when they repented. You begin to count the number of souls that received the new birth experience. And you begin to examine where those souls are at today. Many of these souls are unaccounted for. And when you begin to think about the people that remain, oftentimes many of us, we fail to look into the things that are internal. We begin to focus on the external things. And the Bible declares that when you looked at Saul, Saul disobeyed the voice of God, but he used his sacrifice, his outward expression. He used an altar to cover up his disobedience for the Lord. The Bible declares that when the prophet Samuel began to speak to him, he said, Does the Lord delight more in burnt offerings and sacrifices or obeying the voice of God? If you could see right here, you would see at its form and clearest what I would call the beginning of a religious spirit that has begun to sweep through that nation. The leader by the name of Saul was responsible for the lack of obedience that his men had taken. You got to understand, God is not just calling for praise. God's not just calling for worship. But though when I sit back and I observe over the series of services in this room, I've noticed that there are some people that have not budged one time. Presence of God comes into the room, and I'm not talking to the people that do not have the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking to the people that have not been baptized in the name of Jesus. But if I could be very direct with you tonight, can I do that? Yes, sir. But I need to pack my bags and leave. I want to be extremely direct and very clear with you tonight that there is something terribly going wrong within the four walls of this church. And oftentimes, it is easier for people to dance around the issue. Even some may be afraid to even touch the issue. But I've come to tell you, there comes a time where something that is standing in front of you, that after you have hit it from so many different angles, sometimes it is best to hit that thing head on. Yeah. My mother said, you call a spade a spade. There are people in this room that you, during the praise service, you sat down and wouldn't do anything. Once again, I'm not talking to the people that are not baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's make that clear. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, he's not talking about you if you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, he's not talking about you if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, visitor, if it's a visitor, he ain't talking about you. I want to make sure that we make it clear Because there's something about when we hear the voice of God and when this spirit, when someone that has that rebellious and even that Jezebel spirit, there's something about when they hear the word of God going forth. Whenever it's something that does not cater to their agenda, it is easy for them to say that what he was preaching about was not directed towards me, but is directed towards maybe the person that's sitting next to you. I want every person in this room tonight to leave this place not only examining your own self. But tonight it is my desire, with the help of the Lord, to expose to you, if you have this spirit, and expose to you every person in this church or that is connected to this church that has this spirit. Now, as I'm talking, I can feel a strong spirit of mockery right now. But can I tell you that God is not intimidated? You've got people that, when they have this spirit, they have a tendency sometimes to come across as being very spiritual. People use spiritual things sometimes to cover up their demonic private activity. Can I tell you that the Bible declares, you know, a tree by the fruit that it bears. Can I get some more volume? Not by the tongues that they talk. Not by the messages that they preach. Not by the songs that they sing. But by the fruit that comes from their heart or from their spirit. You have to understand that when you begin to deal with a spirit like this one, this spirit likes to get connected to people that are not only stronger than them, but let me establish, they like to gain the influence of people that are under them. Sometimes they can do good deeds. Sometimes they're there and they can be your bailout plan. But can I tell somebody in this room tonight that when it comes down to This spirit knows how to not only manipulate people that are under them, but it is important to them to gain some form of a level of credibility or control with people that are over them. Can I tell you, church, that in this house, you have people that are manipulating, and you've got people that have been manipulated. But can I tell every person in this room, if you can be manipulated, you will most likely be manipulating. Ask yourself over this course of the past year. Ask yourself over the course of the past 5 years. Ask yourself over the course of the past 10 years. Ask yourself over the course of maybe even the existence of this church. Where are the souls that were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Where are the people who receive the fire of the Holy Ghost sitting in these altars. Can I tell you that it's not just by happenstance that they're no longer here? But you've got to understand that if you're going to have a place that is going to cultivate true discipleship, you've got to have a place that is considered healthy. One thing about people that have a spirit of Jezebel, they're manipulating. They like to gain control. They pose as a distraction. When someone comes and speaks by the word of God, it is their responsibility to make sure that they critique and try to shut down or discredit anything that is a clear sound or a clear voice of God. Can I tell you that if you are connected to someone that only responds when they're the one speaking, but never responds when God is speaking, you might be dealing with a Jezebel spirit. There are those people that it is their desire to never submit themselves to the voice of God. When the preacher says something that they don't like, instead of submitting themselves and honoring the authority that is operating at that time, they'll get up, maybe they'll walk out, or maybe what they do is they shrug their neighbor, or maybe what they do is they get on the phone when they get home, and they reiterate the spirit that they brought to church with and try to discredit what the spirit is trying to speak to the body of Christ. Can I tell everybody in this room tonight that what God is trying to do is God is trying to bring you to a place where you can miss what's getting ready to happen next in the lives of people that refuse to disconnect from that spirit of witchcraft. What do you mean? Talking about that kind of witchcraft. Not even just talking about, because sometimes we think about somebody that walks around with a pointed hat. But can I tell you that every witch that shows up to church don't wear a pointed hat. Sometimes she wears a long dress. Sometimes she wears a long skirt. Sometimes she doesn't wear jewelry. Sometimes she doesn't wear makeup. Sometimes I've seen witches come to church with uncut hair. Can I tell you that a witch is not looked at based upon if her face is green, but what is your spirit producing? Is your fruit that you're bringing forth something that is damnable? I'm talking about the kind of spirit that divides families. If there's somebody in your life, or if there's somebody in this church, or that has been in this church, that has more influence in your family's life than you have in your own family, you may be dealing with a spirit of witchcraft. If you're dealing with someone, a Jezebel spirit. If you're dealing with someone that maybe when it comes down to spiritual authority, they have more influence over what you do and what you don't do than the designated leadership that God has placed in your life has, you may be dealing with a Jezebel spirit. And oftentimes when you start dealing with people that are being manipulated by the spirit of Jezebel, oftentimes they are not, they're unaware of what's going on. Because Jezebel doesn't always come across as just a mean person. Sometimes Jezebel comes across as a truly loving person, an affectionate person, a passionate person. But can I tell you, but I know some affectionate devils. Come on, somebody. I know some affectionate warlocks. I've seen some affectionate wizards. Some affectionate sorcerers. Some affectionate witches. And some of us in this room, we don't realize that someone's cast a spell on you. You know, you ever been somewhere and some people won't raise their hands unless somebody else raise their hands? I've seen it where men are trying to get their house in order, but they can't because the wife is listening to somebody else outside of the house that's got their house in disorder. How do you say Jezebel spirit? The Lord tells the church of Thyatira, he says, he said, I got a few things against you. Because you suffer the woman Jezebel. Jezebel grows because people tolerate it. Right. I've come to tell you that if you are going, you all the people that's in here that came to the altar yesterday that was sick, have you ever considered that some of your sickness in your life could be associated with some form of rebellion in your life? Not saying everybody, but I'm saying it could be almost everybody. It's a possibility. And oftentimes, we want to think the best about ourselves instead of looking at ourselves according to what the scripture says. But have you ever thought that maybe the reason why people do for you is because they want to have control over you? I've seen it where even in this services, I've seen it, like I said, when a person has been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you never hear them lift their hand, see them lift their hands. You never hear them worship God. They never are found praying, but they're always distracted. Why in the world would you even give them an ear in your life? Why would you allow them to speak one word into your life? You mean? Everybody say witchcraft. Sin is usually going to be what help produces that in your life, and what's going to help this thing grow stronger in your life. What do you mean? He says that Jezebel's tolerated. Some of you may have a Jezebel in your home. Some of you women in here, you might be a Jezebel. There may be mothers in this room that you are a Jezebel. There may be fathers in this room or husbands in this room that you're married to a Jezebel. It could be that maybe somebody used to belong to this church and they were Jezebel. You got to understand that the Jezebel spirit is not something that's just isolated. It's an isolated event that is subjected to this church in Revelation. But I've come to tell you there are some people that don't realize that the way this thing goes is if you stay connected to this spirit for too long, what's going to happen is the Bible says that there's going to come a time where the Lord is going to judge this spirit. He's going to judge this individual, and those that are caught in the bed with this individual will go into destruction with that individual. Right. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? You've got to understand that the way the Jezebel spirit operates, many of us think that if a person comes in with makeup on or with jewelry on, or they're just a lustful person, we identify them as having the Jezebel spirit. But can I tell you that that is not what we identify the Jezebel spirit as? If you want to see what Jezebel was, look at what Jezebel was back in the Old Testament. She was intimidating. She had no desire to submit to any authority. She told authority what to do. Anybody in your life, I don't care how great they are or how powerful they are, if there's anybody in your life that refuses to submit themselves to any kind of authority, but yet they want to have influence and they want to have authority in your life, they have a Jezebel spirit. I don't care if they are a pastor. I don't care if they are a pastor's wife. I don't care if they used to pastor. I don't care if they used to be a pastor's wife. I don't care if they were a preacher. I don't care if they are a preacher's wife. I don't care if they are an evangelist. I don't care if they used to be an evangelist's wife. You got to make up in your mind that you are going to draw the line. Because if you don't draw the line, they're going to blot your name out of the book of life. What are you saying? I'm not preaching this because this is just something that I got in the books to preach, and I preach it everywhere. I'm preaching this thing because this thing is in the house. It's in the house. You mean Jezebel is a cleaning spirit?
It's like, sir, come here. It's a clingy spirit. It wants to get all in your business kind of spirit. It wants you to tell everybody about, it wants you to tell me everything about yourself, everything that's going on with yourself. And I give you all, I give you all the input. You don't have to listen to your leader.
Right.
Because I've been around this thing for a long time. Can I tell you, I don't care how long you've been around.
Right.
Your tenure does not exempt you from apostolic authority and apostolic order.
Right.
What do you mean? Can I be honest with you?
Yes,
please. Can I be straightforward with you? Why? Because, listen, you got to understand that many people in this world do not like for you to be straightforward with them. Some people want you, some people, it's like you go places and the person says, well, Brother Hurt, you could have said that a whole lot better, or you could have done this, or you could have put it together this way. You got to understand that me coming and trying to sugarcoat and make this thing feel good so that when I speak to you, it's not what's going to change you. You got to understand that if you don't have enough sense to know that the lifestyle that you're in is a lifestyle that God is not in agreement with, if you don't hear the hellfire, you may be the conviction of the Holy Ghost and get a hold of you. You're wanting somebody to tell you what you want to hear. You're wanting somebody to tell you something that's going to make you feel good. But can I tell you, every rebuke and every chastisement that comes from the Lord will not feel good, but the Lord chasteneth them that he loves.
Amen.
You see, Everybody just say repent. You got to repent. You got to understand, first of all, the only reason why Jezebel is able to function is because somebody with authority tolerates it. If Jezebel has a wife, she is empowered by her husband. If Jezebel functions in the church, she is empowered by the leaders in the church that refuse to deal with her. And I've come to tell you, church, that there comes a time when God says, enough is enough. What are you saying, Brother Hurt? Ask yourself. I was talking to my wife today, and I said, man, I said, there's something here. I was like, man, there's something here. Something is here. Something's going on in this church. Something is here. Something is off. Something's off. And as I begin to think about it, I felt it when I got here. But I felt it even stronger since I've been here. And some of the things that may be off is something that goes beyond just in this season. This is not a seasonal thing. This is not something that you point the blame at this leader. This is not something that you point the blame at. Maybe it's the new people that have come in here. This is something that has been around here. There's one thing about Jezebel, it kills preachers. Jezebel kills what she cannot control. Amen. I mean, I hope and pray right now. I want you to open up, ask you, lift your hands up towards heaven and say, Lord, open up my eyes right now. Because if you don't disconnect from her, you're going to hell with her. If she don't repent, and if you don't repent, you're going to go right to hell with her. It doesn't matter how much you love them. It doesn't matter how much you love her. It doesn't matter how many years you've been connected. Are you helping me spiritually? I knew a woman, she'd tell the preacher whatever she wanted. Whatever was on her mind, she had no problem with speaking her mind. And if the preacher said something she didn't like, if she decided she wasn't going to come to church for the next week or the next 2 weeks or the next 3 weeks or for the next month, she did whatever she wanted to do. Everybody say Jezebel's. Tells the church of Thyatira, he says, she calls herself a prophetess. Jezebel has credibility. Jezebel sometimes can be gifted. Jezebel is spiritual. But just because you're spiritual don't mean you're holy. Are you holy spiritual or are you perverted spiritual? Are you walking by the Holy Spirit or are you walking by the pervert spirit? Are you walking by the Holy Spirit or are you walking by the manipulating spirit? Are you walking by the Holy Spirit or are you governed by the bitter spirit? You don't get your way, you're going to tear something up. I hope she either repents or Jezebel gets as far away from this church as possible. What are you saying, Brother Hurt? Jezebel's spirit, it rubs off. I mean, this is why you got to govern your relationships. Because what it does is it rubs off on you. And then next thing you know, If Jezebel is connected with someone with authority, you know what it does? It makes them feel like they can't do anything. Makes them feel powerless. Some of you men, you need to go home and say, you know what, let me check my house. Some of you may be fighting a Jezebel spirit that is connected with your wife. Some of you may be fighting the Jezebel spirit that's connected with your daughter. And now all of a sudden there's no honor for you. All of a sudden there's this judgmental spirit. All of a sudden there is this lack of respect for you. What do you mean, Brother Hurd? Why are you talking about this? Because you're going to understand that the Jezebel spirit's purpose is to kill the direction and the voice of God in an area. You're having church while they're out there having funerals. You're having church while the babies come in and get the Holy Ghost. And you know what? They have their funerals. You saying, Brother Hurd? I'm saying it's time to either you're going to be close to God or you're going to be close to people. You're either going to esteem people or you're going to esteem God. What do you mean? That means that, first of all, if there's anybody in my life that is not submitted to God and not just telling me that they, listen, just because they say they have a prayer life and just because they're able to come and maybe pray for you, give you a few things, or maybe speak some things that only God could reveal to them, does not mean that they are a credible person. Because I know some people that can give you an accurate prophecy, but can I give you accurate fruit? And what am I saying? I'm saying that it is better for you to wake up now than to wake up on the other side. It's better for you to wake up before you die. When I was sitting in the office, in the evangelist quarters the other day, the Lord brought to my mind a prayer that I used to pray when I was a kid. And it included, if I die before I wake. And when I got here, that's what the Lord spoke to me. And it was dealing with this place. There's some of you in this room that are getting ready to die and you haven't woke up yet. You ever had a dream that was so real and then you woke up? Anybody ever had a dream that, how old are you?
48.
48? Anybody you ever had a dream that maybe you were 25? Anybody ever had a dream that maybe you were like 18 years old, you had all the energy in the world, and then you woke up? Anybody ever had a dream that everything you've been praying for hit your account, and then you wake up? Anybody ever had a dream that felt so real? And then you woke up. And then you realize it was just a dream. Sometimes the dream that you're in can feel like more of a reality than the world that you're actually living in. Nothing's changed around you except for maybe some deception that's going on in you. The Lord said, you need to pray that he wakes you up before you die. What do you mean? Listen. Hey, good fella. Which one of you are the toughest?
They're modest, tough guys. Come here. Just, can't use your son as a prop. All right, he's your son. All right, lay down. Yeah. This way. This man is, his name is Rufus. Close your eyes, Rufus. Put the casket pose, cover you, like put your hand over your belly button, over your heart, kind of like a casket. There you go. Rufus is 55 years old. He's 55 years old. Rufus was living his life. He's faithful to the house of God. He was always there. You knew he was going to be there. But Rufus, the only thing he did was just go through the motions. Rufus was connected to the wrong people. Keep your eyes closed, Rufus. You're dead. You're in the casket. Rufus was connected to the wrong people. Rufus decided that what he was going to do was that he was going to submit himself to this Jezebel spirit. What it does is it takes authority away from you. Takes your manhood away from you. Takes your identity away from you. Takes your authority away from you. To the place where now the only thing you have is someone that is going through life frustrated because he's not fulfilling his purpose. Because now he doesn't even have the authority to speak up anymore. But he's living his life until the day he dies. But when he's here, he's awoke. There's an awareness that comes to people when they die. And a lot of times, many of us, you know, we kind of care less about it until you end up here. You know, a lot of people can say a lot of stuff until they're stretched out before an altar. A lot of people say a lot of, I've seen people blaspheme God. I've seen people reject God. I've seen people talk when the preacher's preaching. I've seen people walk out of here. I've seen people cuss preachers out, go off, tell everybody what they're going to do and what they're not going to do, and talk about how big and bad they are until they're stretched out right here at an altar. And the amazing thing is, what you were saying on this side of the grave will be the furthest thing from your mind on this side of the grave. Why? Because you done woke up. You saying, Brother Hurt? Rufus, get up. You're not dead no more. You're awake. Live your life for the Lord. All right. I need a young lady. No, you. I need a younger one.
Okay. I was like, oh my gosh, don't
take
that.
No, I'm not. That old. I didn't say you were that old. Which one's the youngest? You don't want to mess your hair up. Sit down. All right, we got Sister Sally stretched out here. Sister Sally when she hears scriptures where it says wives submit yourself to your husband. Oh no. She's bitter. She's got anger issues. Listen, every woman runs the risk of getting it. Every woman at one time or another, you're going to be attacked. And there's going to be this part of you that chooses whether or not you're going to become a Jezebel or not. Just like every male leader, at one time in your life, you're either going to be in a position to either be a Saul, a David, or an Absalom. You must always remain the David. And never let Saul turn you into an Absalom. And never let Absalom turn you into a Saul. So, the Jezebel
you know, sometimes when you are anointed or you're connected and you respect someone that's highly anointed, when they're dead, it is very challenging to receive, or when they're gone and something happens to them, there's a failure or whatever, it's challenging to receive someone else's anointing. I've seen it where people are very prophetic, and they become so strong in their giftings. And they're very gifted. They become so strong with their miracles and their signs and wonders. It's evident that God's with them. But what happens is that they come to a place where they are no longer willing to receive any input or insight because they're convinced that they know everything. Whatever you tell them, oh, I knew about that. Oh, yeah, well, I've done that before. Oh, yeah, I've said that before. There's nothing you can't tell me about this scripture. I know the word. I taught you. I prayed you through to the Holy Ghost. Who do you think taught you that? And the people that are like that, they come to a place that they have that know-it-alls. And they can only be teachers. They never can be taught. Jezebel, you'll never see her submit unless it comes to a place where it's going to advance her agenda. You saying, Brother Hurt? Some of us in this room, listen, out there in those streets, out there in these neighborhoods, like I talked about, there's a spirit that's here that makes you go insane. This type of spirit that you see in insane asylums. Abuse, drug abuse, and sexual perversion. Listen, just because nobody sees you doing it does not mean that God does not see you're doing it. Would you lift your hands towards heaven? Put your hands down. All right. In my pastor's church, on this side of the church, whenever I go there, it's like it's much something. Something's always going on there. It's always like, it's like, oh, wow. It's like there's like an authority there or something. There's another church I go to. Then if you sit in a particular section of that church, I don't care who sits there. There's always something off there. Nobody engages God. It's like for some reason the enemy has a level of like dominion there. You ever went to a certain side of town? You can go there blindfolded and you know exactly where you're at because of the presence that's in that area. Can I tell you that in this whole meeting, whole revival, there's a lack of liberty in this section back there. There's a lack of liberty. This is not to beat nobody up.
But it is to identify there's a lack of liberty back there. Something's going on in that section.
If I begin to think about, all right, what's going on back there?
If I start calling people out, we'll get down to the bottom line of what's going on back there. And sometimes when it's like that, it comes down to, remember I said sometimes, you ever been around somebody to lift their hands and start worshiping God? I've been in church, one time I was in a revival, and we were having great revival, and the pastor there had really bad issues. He was a really jealous man. And he came into the sanctuary, and God was moving like crazy. The people were shouting and dancing and worshiping God, and I don't think he was supposed to be there that night. I think maybe he was going to go out of town or something, but he ended up showing up anyway. And as soon as he came walking through the door, everybody shut down. All the liberty that was in the building withdrew itself. Why? Because you had someone there that had an envious spirit or a jealousy spirit that had influence over the people. You want to make sure, you want to check this section back there and see throughout the week, who has the influence? Check the health of the influence. And if anyone in there that has influence that is not submitted to the voice of God and that is not committed and submitted and consistent to apostolic leadership and the voice of God in their life, you need to withdraw yourself from them. Because what's happening is there's something that wants to rob you and shut you down.
Everybody lift your hands and say, Lord, I want to be free from this. I know that this is not, listen, put your hands down. I know that this is not one of those messages that you shout off of and you dance off of and you run off of. And I know that this is not one of those deals where, you know, you're kind of used to just having that evangelist come in and just, you know, give you that evangelistic message. But listen, there comes a time where you have to sit back and say, you know what? I'm not going to be intimidated by this anymore. Right. I'm getting ready to make a decision. Why? Because there's some people, you know who they are. Just bitter. You know, person got the Holy Ghost, but you never hear them talking in tongues. You never see them smiling. You never see them worshiping. So what do you have to do? You have to say, Lord, I want you to restore my mind. I want you to restore my spirit. I want you to restore my heart. I want you to restore my thoughts. Would you lift your hands? Say, Lord, restore me right. All right, put your hands down. The Bible declares a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. There was an issue going on with the church of Corinth. They were very gifted. But in the midst of the gifts operating, there was a man and a woman, and that man was sleeping with his father's wife. And what happened was Paul was frustrated. Was not happy about that because the people had not mourned over the fact that this thing was going on openly and no one contended against it. But Paul writes a letter and he says, I've already judged in the matter. And he said, I'm going to take that person and I'm going to remove them away from me. I'm going to turn them over to Satan. He didn't say, I'm going to turn them over to another pastor somewhere. He said, I'm going to turn them over to Satan. Some of the issues is that we turn people to another church. And the issue is not the Holy Ghost. The issue is
There's a need for destruction of the flesh. They have given themselves over to this situation. They've made up in their mind that they're not going to change. So if the preachers and the pastors in Corinth could not change the situation, and if Paul could not change the situation by helping him, then turning him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh could possibly cause salvation to come to the man. We don't hear stuff like that no more. We don't want to turn people over no more. We don't want to remove people from our midst anymore. But why don't we do that? Because we're more concerned about their feelings. Or what happens when you turn this man, the man that he turned over to Satan's daddy was still in the church. Maybe he's got relatives. Maybe he's got friendships. Maybe he's developed relationships in the church. And people don't want to turn that person over to Satan, because if you turn them over, it might cause an uproar in the church. I've got a question. You've heard it said that blood is thicker than water. But listen, Jesus said, them that do the will of my Father, the same as my mother, the same as my brother, the same as my sister. You got to understand that there comes a place where you have to esteem the spirit above flesh and blood. What are you saying, Brother Hurt? He said, I've got to remove this thing. He said, because a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. So what happens is this. Things start transferring. That means I come to church and I'm not dealing with my issue. I'm going to going home and I'm doing anything I want to do. And then I come to church, and I'm not talking about somebody that's a struggle. I'm talking about somebody that's made up in their mind. They're going to do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. And then they come to the house of God and they bring that spirit with them to the place where you got a young man that's coming out of the world that is trying to live a chaste life, but you got another lady in the church that's living in an adulterous relationship. Or you got another lady in the church or another man in the church that is fornicating all the time. I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking about people that are in the body. And a friend of mine called me on my way over here a couple of days ago, and he said, George, he said, you know, the condition that was in my body, he said, they had to amputate my foot a couple of years ago. He said, well, they had to amputate the other foot the other day. When you have a condition, it doesn't just stay in that area. That condition begins to travel throughout the body. And when you are giving yourself over to another spirit, you got to understand that your condition begins to travel throughout the rest of the body, to the place where people are now struggling with stuff that folks never struggled with anymore. People come to the house of God to be healed, but they come to the house of God and they end up contaminated. And that's where witchcraft and rebellion comes in at. When you're at home and you sit back and you start cussing and going off, instead of bringing your flesh under subjection, listen, it's not just maybe your husband or your wife or your children that you're taking that thing out on. But you are bringing that to the body. We are connected. That's why the Bible says mourn with those that mourn and rejoice with those that rejoice. Why? Because we are connected. We are one body. If you do something to one person, you do it to all of us.
It doesn't matter if you like them or not. But if no man hates his own body, that's why it's important to do good to those, even of the household of faith. It's like somebody that's going to feed everybody but don't want to feed himself. I mean, if you don't take care, if you only take care of the left side, but you won't take care of the right side. You need the body and the body needs you. So what are you saying, Brother Hurt? That means that that's why if you got a condition or if you're fighting with something, you don't sit back home and play with it. Get that man out of your house. Stay out of that woman's house. Stay out of that neighbor's house. Quit coming to the house of God wondering if somebody else has enough discernment to see your sin and get some conviction in your life and register and know that God sees exactly where you're at and you need God to deliver you from that situation. Quit playing in your sin and cry out to God and say, Lord, deliver me from this. Why? Because it's a sin issue. You mean, Brother Hurt? It's a sin issue. And you know what happens is that you get something going right here. And the next thing you know, you just walk past. Do you know that when you go down the street, I believe that there's angels that get in my car with me. I believe that there are times where, you know, we go to the basketball court, boom, and there's an angel right on the court with me. Sometimes I wish he would help put the ball in the basket, but wish he would have been. You know, that there's an angel with you. I believe that all of us came to church with what we're submitted to. I believe that. I believe that if you submitted to the Holy Ghost, he came here with you. But if you're not, whatever you're yielding yourself serving to, he's coming here with you. Why? Because he's got the leash on you. He's got a leash. He's got a hold of you. And what happens is, the issue is that it'd be different if you had something that looks like, it looks like a worm, but then you get a little bit closer, you get closely connected to it, next thing you know, you find out that thing ain't no worm. That thing's a snake. That's a cobra. And next thing you know, he lashes out and he bites you. Some of us, that's why we have to be careful about hypocrisy. Because what happens is we come to a place, and it should be a place that's safe. This is why you need to make sure that you ask God for discernment. Why? Because anybody that's good can go bad. Anybody that's doing right can turn around and leave this place and do wrong. This is why we need to have discernment. This is why you got to have people that are praying. This is why you got to have the prophetic anointing in your church. This is why you got to have people that move in the gifts of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the discerning of the spirits. That's why you've got to know. Why not when something hits the fan, but before it comes in? You'd be surprised how many times the Lord has blocked some things. Why? Because he showed it to me before it happened. And what would happen if this church came to a place where you said, you know what? I'm getting ready to step into a place with God. Where I'm going to get out of everybody else's business and get into the Lord's business. And say, you know what? I've got, why? Because people are coming with real problems. It should be that if somebody turns around and has been drinking all weekend, or decided that they were going to go on a binge, and they call themselves a saint, there should be something that goes off when they walk through the door. There should be a trigger, an alarm that goes off. This is something ain't right. Something's not right. Something's not right. It's your body. Come on, somebody. It's your body. Because Listen, I went to a hospital one time and prayed for a man that ended up almost had his whole leg amputated. He had diabetes, and the diabetes messed up his body so much that he lost feeling in his leg. Why? Because he couldn't keep his stuff under control. What do you mean? He had a hard time watching what he took in. When you can't control what you take in, takes over. Yes, sir. And it makes you desensitized to the place where he was sitting back in a bed in one of those old houses where they had the heat registers. And the register caught his leg on fire. He didn't even know his leg was burning up until he smelled flesh cooking. He was asleep. His leg is on fire and he can't tell. Listen, some of us want to target the person that's fooling with the stuff, but we have to also say, why is it that I'm connected to them and I didn't see something? This is why we need to get connected to the body. This is why you need to be at every prayer meeting. This is why you need to be at every Bible class. This is why you need to be at every Sunday service. Why? Because if something starts happening, or if my brother starts coming up under attack, not waiting for him to get into something, but somebody that says, you know what? I feel something, brother. I feel something. I feel like you need to pay attention to some people that are in your life. And maybe what he's feeling, you know what's going to happen? Probably what he is feeling is something that he's already, that what you're telling him you feel, he felt the same thing. But he was trying to figure out. Anybody ever got stung? And then what do? You felt it, so then you call for backup. You then take your eye and you look, and your eye speaks to the head and says, yeah, something happened. Or you touch it. And you say, all right, something's going on. That's how we need to be connected. Witchcraft comes in to disconnect. It causes the body to rebel against the system. What are you saying, Brother Hurt? Many of you got children that are backslidden. Many of you got children that are on the way out the church. How many of you want to see your family saved? All right, we got to get connected. We've got to get connected. And the only way you're going to get connected is if you disconnect from anything that causes division. If the person, listen, I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. It could be him. It could be a preacher. I don't care who it is. I'm not saying it's him or a preacher. But what I'm saying is, I don't care who it is. If that person is no longer going to be submitted, you don't want to fool with nobody that's not submitted. Listen, for beginners, young people, if you never see that person on the altar, don't you listen to them. You listen to your pastor. You listen to your parents. But when your parents get old, but when you get older and your parents don't want to submit to God, you listen to the voice of God and you listen to your pastor. Your loyalty to your parents is why you're here on earth. It goes beyond this. We're trying to get to heaven. Your loyalty to God must be stronger than your loyalty to flesh and blood. You saying, Brother Hurt? That means you got to go home. You got to get some stuff out of your house. Like I've talked about this past weekend, there are people that have come through the doors that are coming out of stuff. Just about every person we baptized and prayed through, I saw some real witchcraft in their life. Like they got stuff in their houses. But there are people in this church. You got stuff in your houses and you got stuff in your heart. You're doing things. You know, if I sit back and I stole something and he's picking up that I stole something, but yet I try to divert him and try to twist him in a way that tries to make him feel like that what he is feeling is off, that's witchcraft. That's witchcraft. We need to come before the Lord transparent. Quit hiding in your rebellion. That means that if you're going to, so what do I do to stay out of witchcraft? Stay out of rebellion. Because every act of witchcraft begins with a person that disobeys the voice of God. And at the moment of your disobedience, that is the moment of rebellion, and that's where witchcraft is beginning to work. We say, Brother Hurt, I want you to lift your hands. Lord, help me to surrender everything, the relationships. If you got gifts, if somebody that you know is manipulating has given you something, give it back to them or get rid of it. Come on, you're trying to go to a place whose builder and maker is God. Come on, we're going to surrender ourselves to the voice of the Lord. Come on, we're going to surrender ourselves for the voice of the Lord. Come on, some of us need to get back on fire again. One thing about witchcraft, when I feel it, I start feeling drained all of a sudden. Sometimes you start feeling like you're getting a headache and you don't even have a headache. Sometimes when witchcraft is at work, you start feeling confused. It ain't your medication. It's witchcraft. Sometimes your body responds to some things that are happening in the spirit. And the enemy wants you to just make you think that it's just something going on in your body, so that you don't wake up to what's going on in the spirit. But somebody's going to wake up tonight. Somebody's going to wake up tonight. Somebody's going to wake up tonight and say, you know what? I'm getting ready to get real serious about this. Come on, some of you have opened up doors. You've drunk spirits into your life. You've smoked spirits into your life. You've laid down. You've had sex and spirits have entered into your life. God said you need to cut the relationship off. You need to cut that person off. Sometimes when God brings you to another level, he takes away the old relationship and he'll give you a new relationship. Come on. Maybe you need to come off of Facebook. Maybe you need to come off of Instagram. Maybe you need to come off Twitter. Maybe you need to get another cell phone so that you can get some old people out of your life. Because the wrong relationship can mess you up and have you in the wrong place. But the right relationship can mess around and have you in the right place. I don't want to be under anybody's spell. Come on.
Come on. I don't want to be under anybody's spell. Break that thing off of me. Come on, break it off of my family. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, you got to be honest with yourself. If that person is manipulated, cut them off. Say, I got to disconnect from you. You're not healthy for my spirit. You're not healthy for my family. I'm trying to see Jesus. You got to disconnect. Because if you don't disconnect, it'll disconnect you from the vine. If you don't disconnect, it'll disconnect your children from the vine. You got to disconnect. You got to cut some stuff out. You got to kill that thing. You got to kill that thing. You say, I can't live without it. Because if you cut it off, you don't have to worry about it coming back. But if you let it cut you off, you'll never bounce back. You gotta kill that thing. You got one shot at life. Say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's time to get your spirit man right. It's time to get your soul right. It's time to wake up before you die. Won't do nothing for you on judgment day. Them drugs you take won't do nothing for you on judgment day. That man that's not your husband won't do nothing for you on judgment day. That woman that's not your wife won't do nothing for you on judgment day. That you're into, it won't take the edge off on judgment day. Come on, come on, come on, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free. Come on, church. You came into this world by yourself. Job said, naked I came in, and naked I'm going to leave. He wants all or nothing at all. You say, you don't worship me like you used to worship me. You're not in love with me like you used to be in love with me. You're not on fire like you used to be on fire. Come on. Come on. It's time to submit yourself to apostolic authority. I would never attend the church of a pastor that I refuse to submit to. It's time for you to go all the way. It's time for you to learn how to honor those that are in authority. watch for your soul. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you got lust in your spirit, come on. Quit playing with that thing. Ask God to deliver you from it. Come on, that's it in the Mashoko Lialabaha. Mandebe Soko Baha. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, it's time to break this thing. Come on, that's it in the name of Jesus. Time for a breakthrough. Come on, let God bring some people to your mind. Let God bring some people to your mind. Lord, whoever I need to disconnect from, I'll do it. Come on. Come on, it'll be a liberty in your house. You'll feel the glory of God like you used to feel it. You'll feel the power of God like you used to feel it. Come on, some of you are not under authority. But you didn't say, Lord, I'm going to get back. I want to be covered. If you're submitted to your pastor, but not submitted to your husband, you're not submitted to God. Husbands, if you do what you do and you say nobody can tell me what I want to do, you say you're submitted to God, but you're not submitted to your pastor, you're not submitted to God. Come on, God said, I want to break things in order. Come on, because there's a harvest that's here. Come on, I told your pastor the other day, I said the liberty in this house for people to get the Holy Ghost is so easy here. Come on, you're not on the front end of this thing. You're on the back end of this thing. But it's time to destroy this thing. Sister Elizabeth, come back to the front. Come on, in the name of Jesus. I want you to get a hold of God. Come on, I want you to focus on God. Come on, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. cleanse your heart, cleanse your mind. Get the Holy Ghost back in your home. Get the presence of God in your home and go to bed. Somebody keeps knocking at you, but you're not such a good one. Call the cops.
Come on. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on. Listen,
I'm going to say something.
That Jezebel spirit is a perverted spirit. There is a perverted side to it.
All right?
But what it likes to do, the Bible says that it calls people to get in the bed with her. It is a perverted spirit. All right? And what I have seen is I've seen it in churches where people privately are fighting stuff. They're thinking that it's just them, but it's actually a relationship that's feeding it. And sometimes a person, like you got somebody that's sleeping around over here, you got a person that's in pornography over there, you got somebody over here that's got drinking issues, you got somebody over here keeps smoking, you got somebody over here that's got bitterness, you got somebody over here that's got fear, you got somebody over here that's intimidated, and all this stuff is circulating at one time. And if you ask all the people, they all battle in condemnation. What Jezebel's spirit does is it perverts everything. It wants the spirit of perversion to begin to filter through the culture of a home or through the atmosphere of a church. And when that thing begins to filter to that area, what happens is people start feeling, if you start battling and you're getting bombarded with stuff and you're not able to identify where it's coming from, it's in our nature sometimes, in the way the enemy fights. The Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. The way that he fights is he starts putting the blame on you. And he says, you're the reason why you're having these thoughts. You really, really want it. And if that thing keeps hitting your mind and you don't do something about it, then there's people that give themselves over to it, not realizing that you're sitting back and you're dealing with maybe this Jezebel person, or maybe you've got, it could be a person sometimes. And what happens is it's like they're the only spiritual person in your life. But though they may appear to be very spiritual, they're very perverted themselves. And what you've got to do is you've got to say, Lord, I want to make sure that it's not relationships in my life that is bringing on some of this stuff. And after you have examined whether or not it's the relationships, then what you need to do is say, all right, Lord, what's going on with me? If you're doing something, if you're listen, everybody in this world that's going to get out of here is going to fight something. You're not going to get out of here without a fight. But listen, you've got to fight the good fight, and you got to fight right. And the way that you're going to fight is, first of all, you've got to get order into your life. Like I've said, you cannot, if you're inviting people over to your house, and you know good and well you're single, and you invite them over to your house, you shouldn't be inviting somebody to your house of the opposite sex and you're single. And you shouldn't be going over the house of someone of the opposite sex and you're single or you're married. You need to keep your feet in your own house. You've got to keep the perversion out.
Anybody that opens up their house, hear me now. If you open up your house to your children, your grandchildren, to do perverse acts, you know they're living in perversion in your house. What do you mean? They got their boyfriend coming over sleeping around. Got their girlfriend coming over sleeping around. Maybe they come in from out of town, and you haven't seen them in a year. And they got the grandbabies, but yet they're coming over, and they're sleeping around together, and they're not married. You don't let them come and stay in your house. Even when I said that, I felt something. You've got to govern your home, because you bring to church what you keep at home. Whatever's going on in your home is going to come to church with you. And just like when you were kids, you went to school and they had show and tell, you show and tell what goes on at home. And sometimes we might not see it on you, but it'll pop up through somebody else. So what am I saying tonight? I'm saying tonight, when we leave this place, you need to go home. You need to take a look at your house, your husbands. You need to get back into a place of stepping in authority. I'm not saying be brutal, but you need to be an authority in your home. Wives, you need to submit yourself to your husband. Why? Because if you don't, your children are going to be lost. And if you're not submitted to your husband, then what happens is usually your children become the replacement in the relationship. Listen, you want to put order. There are men that I know that are more submitted to the world and they're more in love with their church than they are in love with God. To the place where the church becomes the replacement for the relationship with God. And if a man can do that with a church, or a man can do that with their wife, I've seen wives do that with their own children and their husband. They love the children more than they love the husband. The husband loves the wife more than he loves God, and they replace it. God said it's time to get things in order. If you get things in order, stuff will flow. You don't have to make stuff happen. It'll happen on its own. It was designed for that. So what you want to do is you want to ask God, Lord, let me get back to the original design that you have made. Some of what you're dealing with, yes, is the spirit of the area. But this thing that's been in this church has been here for way too long. And it is time to stand up as a body of Christ and say, we're not going to tolerate this spirit anymore. Men need to stand up and say, I'm not going to tolerate it in my home. I'm not going to tolerate it in my family. I'm not going to tolerate it in my church. Wives need to stand up and say, I'm not going to tolerate it in myself. I'm not going to tolerate it in my children. I'm not going to be a conduit or a vessel used of this. You can either get right or get left. You can either get right or get out. Usually whenever I come somewhere and I deal with this spirit, the Lord starts revealing stuff. Because see, if you got the Holy Ghost, sometimes the enemy just kind of goes undetected. But when God comes in and sends somebody in with some eyes and just say, and it's like, man, you know what? I know that. And then what happens is revelation begins to hit your eyes. And then you go to sleep. Then God starts revealing things. And you start having dreams. And God starts talking to you like he used to talk to you. God's going to start doing that. When I leave this church, there are people God's going to begin to speak to. He's going to begin to speak to you in the morning. You're going to get up. You're going to start praying in the morning. You're going to have a liberty for prayer. You're going to start falling. You're going to have the Holy Ghost. He's going to hit you on your way to your job. You're going to be walking down the street. You're going to start talking in other tongues. He's going to be speaking to you. He's going to give you revelation. Dreams are going to begin to come to you. And he's going to expose to you your surroundings. He's going to show you yourself. What do you mean?
I'm going to get my church back. I'm going to get my city back. I'm going to get my ministry back. I'm going to get my family back. I'm going to get my children back. I'm going to have revival. My children are going to have revival. My church is going to have revival. My city's going to have revival. We're going to turn this thing upside down.
But we have to expose stuff. We've got to expose it. And when we expose it, that's when you walk away. Say, you know what?
I love you. But you know what? You gave yourself over to this. So therefore, listen. I had a father that died. He died lost. And in the dream, I had a dream. A few days after he died, I was so frustrated because I knew he died lost. And, you know, I was really trying to work on him. This is the time we were pastoring. And he came to our church plants, and you know, he came to every event that we had, and he would always, whenever I called him to come to church, he came. I could never get him in that water. I was so frustrated, and I remember saying, Lord, you know, I just need you to talk to me. I need you to comfort me because I was very vexed with grief. I had a dream one night, and in the dream, I was in another place, another world. But it was this world. It was like another place, another world. And it was like he was the only one in that place. I'm talking about when you talk about being isolated or separated from the presence of God. If I could bring to you a reality of what I saw in the dream, he was in another world. And he was the only one in that world. Nothing else was there. Nobody else was there. There was no other spirits that were there. You couldn't even feel God there. It would be what I would call extreme separation. And he sat there, and though he was separated, he was in this train station. And he was sitting on this bench. And as he was separated from the world that he knew, there was an awareness that was over him. I looked at him. And the Lord, it was like he kind of let me hover in front of him. As I hovered in front of him, he couldn't see me, but I could see him. He was sitting there with just extreme enlightenment. The type of look that I was waiting my whole life for to see on him, because I've seen it where the light comes on with people. Well, the light was on, but it was too late, because he loved darkness. When light shined in darkness, he wouldn't comprehend it. He loved darkness more than he loved light, because his deeds were evil. But when he crossed over, his eyes were open. And then what happened was he sat there as if like, not angry with God, but like, man, I did this to myself. And the only thing I could say was like, the look on his face was like, wow, I missed it. And as I stood in front of him, I looked, and there was a train, and he was waiting in the train tracks, but you could tell that he had missed that train. And he was waiting for the next train to come. I didn't know when that next train was going to come, but we did know that when that train came, it was going to be the train leading to his judgment. When that happened, I woke up, and I'm not one of the most extremely
teary-eyed, crying type of people. But during that season, I it seemed like I just cried on impulse. I remember waking up and I just began to bawl like a baby. And I said, Lord, why in the world would you even show me this? I'm asking you to comfort me, and you have just showed me this. And then that's when I began to pour out my heart to him. I said, Lord, you know, if you would have just given me one more chance, if you know, he was 61 years old. There are other people out there that live to see many more years longer than that, that are way worse than what he ever was. Why, Lord, did you do this? And the Lord spoke to me like the voice of a stern father. He said, George, he said, you listen to me. He said, you need to learn how to respect the choices. No, he said, you listen to me. If you're going to walk with me and you're going to walk in authority, you need to learn how to respect the choices and the decisions of other people. Your father situation right now, I did not choose this for him. I sent my son to die for him. I did not choose this for him. Your father chose this for himself. And he said, and if he made this choice for himself, and I respect the choice that he made, I don't like it, but I honored it. And if I respect the choice that he made, you have to respect it as well.
As soon as that happened, I was like, and I was brought back to the dream
of him sitting there like, man, I did this to myself. He didn't blame me. He didn't say, man, George could have preached a little bit more. He was like, no, I chose this for myself. And when that happened, the comfort of the Holy Ghost grabbed hold of me. And all the grief lifted when I accepted the fact that people make their own decisions. Does it hurt? Yes. But my joy for what the Lord has done is greater than the grief than what my father has done, my earthly father. My dad did not do. And what you've got to make a choice in this church. There are going to be people that are going to make decisions, because usually when it's a person we got to let go of, it's a person we don't want to let go of. It wouldn't be easy, it'd be hard to be manipulated by somebody you don't like. You got to make a choice and say, you know what? I'm breaking free from this. And when you do that, it's going to be a liberty that's going to come off of you. Don't be intimidated. You back up. So you know what? I'm going to walk with God. And then what's going to happen? There's going to be a unity. Come here, brother, pastor. It's going to be a unity. And then there's another person that comes. Come here, brother. Yoke up with us. And then what happens is another one comes. Come here, brother. And another one comes. And now the storms that used to kill us makes us stronger. Come here, brother. My guitar, brother. There you go. Come here, young man. Rufus, where you at? You got to include Rufus. Overseas, there was a storm that came through
These trees look real flimsy. All the other trees, the big trees that were way bigger than those trees, when the storm came through, it uprooted them, destroyed all of them. But then they had these little bitty flimsy trees, and all of them still stayed in their spots. The question was asked, how was it that those big trees were destroyed by the storm, but those little flimsy trees were able to endure it? They said, well, though the trees were real small and real flimsy, if you notice, there was a lot of them together. And they weren't standing on their own, but underneath the soil, the root systems began to connect together. That when the storm came and the wind blew, it could not uproot the tree, because trying to uproot one was like trying to uproot all of them. Church, I'm telling you that God is going to turn this church. There are things that God has prophesied throughout the years that are going to come to pass. But we have to identify the sickness, and we have to uproot the sickness. And what's going to happen? People are going to connect to this body.
Right.
And people are going to stick. They may not be like what you call those big trees over there, but if there's unity in the body,
right,
when the storms come, because listen, storms are going to come, winds are going to blow, but when the storms and the wind blow, you know what's going to happen? They're going to stay rooted. They're going to stay connected. Why? Because underneath the soil, we are unified. Many times we look alike on the top, but disconnected under the soil. But God said, our unity will be more than just surface. It'll go up under the soil. Everybody lift your hands and begin to worship the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Many people think that Jezebel wanted to kill Elijah because of him killing the prophets. But listen, I don't believe that that was the motive of that spirit that was functioning behind Jezebel. The Bible says that when Elijah went into the cave and sought the Lord that he might die, the Lord spoke to him and he said, why are you in here? And he said, you know, nobody's standing but me. The woman was after him. The spirit wanted to kill him. And listen, sometimes when Jezebel's running, it tries to silence you. There are many people in this room at one time in your life, you were much more anointed than what you are. You were doing more for God. You were more passionate about the things of God, but something happened. And see, sometimes when that spirit is in the atmosphere, it tries to shut you down and makes you go into a cave and hide. Sometimes even seek the Lord that you might die. See, the reason why the enemy wants you hiding is because of what is on the inside of you. Jezebel would rather settle for you either dying or hiding. Because if you ever come out of that cave, the Bible says, he said, I want you to go out. And he said, and I want you to go and anoint two kings and the prophet. That spirit knew that there was a word in his mouth. Sometimes we think that the enemy is fighting us over something that we've already done. But the enemy is proactive, not reactive. He's fighting you over what you're getting ready to do. All right? He's fighting you over what you're getting ready to do. He wants to stop the word that's going to happen. He's after the word, not after what's already manifested. But he's wanting to stop what's going to manifest. So he has to shut you down to keep you from doing it. He said, go anoint 2 kings and a prophet. And when he did that, he walked out of that cave. And he obeyed the voice of God. And from that, the future of the kingdom was established. Why? Because Jezebel and her husband wanted to kill all the prophets. And not only want to kill all the prophets, to make it that they would be, that their children would be the descendants of the kingdom to come. But the Lord said, I want you to kill the prophets, and I want you to anoint a new prophet. And as you begin to anoint a new prophet, I want you to anoint 2 kings. The enemy is attacking you for the future. That's why he's attacking your children, your grandchildren, and all that stuff. And God says, I'm going to give you this thing again. Sometimes we might have failed back then. But has anybody learned some things along the way? It's time to get up and fight again. Love you all, and God bless you in Jesus' name.
Praise God. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and fellowship. Amen. Fellowship is important. That's how we bind together. And I'm going to keep preaching it until we start doing it. Amen. We need to fellowship to get to know one another. And when you get to know one another, then you can sense the spirit that's upon the person that you're worshiping with. And we can stop the advances of evil that try to rear its head in our lives. Amen. Because this church is going somewhere. God is going to use this body to do great exploits. Amen. And we're going to advance the kingdom of God to reach the lost that want to serve God. God bless you. Be friendly with one another. Thank you for being here tonight. Come again. If you're a guest here and you don't have a home church, make this your home. Amen. God bless you.